Luke chapter 9, and begin reading in verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these things, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray.
Yep.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance or his appearance, his face was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. That word glistering is glistening. If you want to use that word, that's fine. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We're going to stop right there just for this morning. And we could read this portion and you could spend a lifetime studying the portion of here, what is known by many as the transfiguration or the change of Jesus Christ from his walk around body to his glorious state, his glorified body there before his people. There's much there. If you just took the time to say that Jesus walked with men, that's a series of messages in itself, and that he took them to pray, that could be considered for much time. And as you continue reading, the things that even the Father said from heaven, you could spend much time there. We're going to look at this passage, though, just for a little bit and take a very basic outline. And we're going to consider the subject a message from the departed, a message from the departed. You know, in a passage like this, because there's so much there, we can really focus on two or three things and miss other things that are going on, right? We can miss the forest for the trees, as they say sometimes. But we're not going to try to distract at all from what happened there in Transfiguration. But I think if we look at it at just a little bit different angle, that we can actually get a better perspective of how we should see Jesus and what we should be all about as the people of God. A very basic outline we're going to take. In the outline, we see really three major points: that they talked with him, they talked about him, and they talked about what he was going to do, or what the gospel is. And that's what we're going to look at in just a short amount of time here this morning. So I pray the Lord would instruct us, would benefit us as his people, but we'd also get a glimpse of his wonder, his beauty, his glory, his majesty. I mean, you think about the condescension of Jesus Christ, how he came from the highest and he dwelt among men. He walked among men. He taught men. And there are many times where he said the same thing over and over. He was patient with men. He's patient with me, child of God. He's patient with you. So let's look at this just for a few minutes here this morning. First, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. In this presentation here, he's glorified, he's glistering, and he's gracious. He's, again, communicating with men. What a wonderful thing that he could be among men in this glistering state and his beauty and his wonder. And these men were not simply evaporated or immediately cast into judgment. The graciousness of God being among his people and then afterwards deliberating with him, that they have a presence with God. You have Moses and Elijah. They were sinful, yet they were sanctified and they're saved. There's some alliteration there for you all. That they were there were many people who had passed on. There were many people who were in glory, but these two were set apart for this work, for this conversation even, that we would learn. These three men, Peter and John and James, Jesus didn't love them more, but they were people that were Jesus. When he would turn around, they were there and said, Jesus, where are you going? We want to go. What's going on? They were imperfect. They were sinners. They died. But here you have these three men also part of this account. So, again, basic. Who did they talk with? You know, sometimes we get mixed up in our minds who we ought to be talking with, what we ought to be talking about, and what the manner of our conversation ought to be. And that's also, I think I've been guilty of this. I get mixed up of what heaven's going to be like. And this passage really gives us some understanding about that. People think, oh, you know, when I go to heaven, I'm going to see a departed child. I'm going to talk with them, or I'm going to go see my parents, or I'm going to go see my brother or sister. I'm going to go see a spouse. Yeah, they'll be there. If they're saved by the grace of God, they'll be there. But the imperative was not to talk among one another. And you don't see Moses and Elijah running off to Peter, James, and John and saying, hey, what's going on? No, these men, they wanted to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says they talked with him. They talked all eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's exactly one center of attraction in this passage, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That all eyes on him, and they were talking with him. What an amazing thing. I look forward not to talking to him, but him talking to me, the Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful things will be heard from his mouth. You know, I like to talk about, you know, what I've done. You know, people like to look on Facebook and be on Facebook for 30 seconds or less, and people say what they've done or what they're going to do, and me, I, you know. Children of God are like that too. They like to talk about how they did this and they witnessed to that person or whatever. No, our desire ought to be talking with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and in these things, but also about him and the things that he has done.
That's right.
That's what our mouths ought to service. You know, we eat with our mouths, but we ought to speak gospel. We ought to speak the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to speak, you know, these men, they came from a place of glory. You know, they could have said, hey, Peter, James, and John, let me tell you what I've seen. You know, they could have gone and talked to anybody about anything, but what was their desire? Their desire was to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses had seen a lot in his life. He could have gone to try to compare his life with others. Oh, yeah, I saw plagues. I saw the Red Sea. I saw the earth swallow up Korah and his people. I saw all kinds of great wonders in the desert. Moses could have said, me, I. No, he talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you all this is a simple outline. He preferred to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ than anything.
That's right.
I mean, this is Moses, what does he need? I mean, he's in a place of glory by the finished work of the Messiah. He's there. He's arrived. And his desire is to speak with Christ. That ought to tell us something in this life, children of God. It ought to tell us something. Elijah. He had seen a lot in his life, didn't he? He saw a drought and he saw a rain. He was fed by birds. He saw a woman that had nothing and she was prepared to eat her and her son and just die. He saw that contest there on Mount Carmel. He could have talked about anything. He could have talked to anyone.
Right.
He desired to talk with Jesus. You know, well, think about this opposite. You know, how often have we said, you know what, I can't wait to talk to old Daniel. You know, Daniel, what'd you do all night? I can't wait to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, how did you preserve Daniel? You know, show me those things, you know. But talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, that was their one and only preference. Moses and Elijah, they preferred to talk with the Lord more than even each other. They didn't address one another. Think about that. These guys had a lot in common, and they had been they weren't fooling with this old sinful body anymore. They had more in common as men than they had with other men, but they didn't even talk among themselves. They talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Newell, knowing these things, well, how does that change my life today? If I know that these men, they preferred to talk with the Lord, what's that mean to me? I'm glad you asked. How much time in the world do we spend in prayer? I'm guilty. How much time do I spend? I've got access to God in prayer.
Yeah.
How much time do I prefer to talk with the God of my salvation?
Right.
Boy, that just kicks us in the knee, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Think about that. You've got access to the Creator of all things by the work of Jesus Christ. By our great high priest, we have access to the throne of God. And we cast it away with 30-second prayers and insignificance of heart. I spend much of my time in little meditation, in little prayer, in little time fellowshipping and communing with God. That is troubling to me, and I'm troubled and shamefully of my own self. How else can we communicate with God? Well, you know what? Your pastor here, church, he preaches God's word, that God's love letter to you on a regular basis.
Right.
Is it your heart's desire to say, oh man, I know God's got something. I know he's got something. Do you thirst to hear from God's word, from God's man, from in God's assembly, from God? Do you thirst for that? Or is it, oh well, it's almost time. Well, let me set this aside, and I'll come back to it later, and half-hearted walk out the door and come in this building. I'm a child of God. I'm a pastor. I'm also a sinful man, and I know my heart. I know many times in my life, I have just said, you know what? Speaking with the Lord, it's important, but it's not that important. Shame on me. If these men who have come from a place of glory, all they had their desire on was speaking with God, having experienced the same salvation they have, shame on me for not desiring sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. How about in song? You know, that's a conversation too. You know, you ever had a song stuck in your head? I've had lousy songs stuck in my head. Lousy ones.
Right.
How about the song we just sang? When we all get to heaven. How long have you just pondered that song before? How about Victory in Jesus? That's the other song we sang. Man, just think about those words.
Right.
You start talking with God quite a bit when you start thinking about what he's done for you and the victory that he's had, the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Man, that's a sweet conversation. That's a conversation that leads to things that cannot be uttered, and the Spirit has to just groan on your behalf. That's something, children of God. We ought to desire to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Burn for it.
Amen.
Searching the Scriptures. Is the only time your Bible, is the only time my Bible opens up is church day? Is that the only time you look into the Word of God and say, my God, what a Savior, how that He died for me? Is that the only time that you can see with your own eyes what God has done?
Right.
Is that your desire? Do you desire to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's available for us today. Not in the sense that they talked with Him. You know, what did Jesus say to Thomas? He said, yeah, paraphrasing, yeah, it's great you have seen and believed. Blessed are they that have not seen. Well, we have not seen, but by faith we can have sweet talk and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be our desire. I'm convicted by this. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at myself, and I hope you all benefit from it. These things ought to provoke us to love and to love the Lord and want to talk with Him. Well, when they talked with Him, what was going on here? Look, in verse 30, it says, and behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. They talked about Him. Okay? How dare I? You know, sometimes I can be super guilty in my prayer that in different things that I talk to the Lord, but I talk all about me. Who's ever been guilty of that? Talk all about me. I guess these people aren't guilty like us over here. We just talk about ourselves. How dare I? Y'all ever read any of the Psalms? Yeah, these guys, they talk about their brokenheartedness. Oh, I cried out unto God and He heard me. And then they spend the psalm just talking about how great God is. And now He overthrew the enemy and how He strung out the stars in His face and how He can do whatever He wants and how that Christ would come and that He would pay for the sins of His people. No, our prayers, yes, we can put our asks, we can put some personal items in there, but our prayers ought to be consumed with how that God has died for us and assurances and His promises. It ought to be about Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for promising the eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a hope that though my life is turbulent as the sea, that You've given me a hope that You have overcome and will see me through to the other side. Thank you, Lord. My life is not about me, Lord. It's about You. Lord, use me in all circumstances to glorify You. Thank You, Lord. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord.
Amen.
People get mixed up about what's going on and what we're going to talk about in glory. We get all mixed up. Luke chapter 24, if you would, please. Look at this. You know, you can read the Bible. There's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. Anybody ever come across a mystery in the Bible? One or two? Luke chapter 24. I want you to see something. What are we going to talk about? We're not, you know, some of us preachers like to get aside from ourselves and talk about things that, and circumstances and that kind of stuff. What would we do? You know, what's going on here? Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. What things? The things in the Scriptures.
That's right.
Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. Well, there's Moses, and Elijah was one of the prophets, wasn't he? And in the Psalms concerning me. So in your Bible, everything's about Jesus. If you have any questions about the Bible, look for Christ first. It's all about him. Verse 45. I think this is a glimpse of what we're going to be talking about. First, Jesus giving us the education, right? Talk about him. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. He opened the Scriptures, gave them understanding, and pulled everything back to himself. They talked about him and to raise from the dead the third day. Specifically, they thought everything's about his gospel. From the beginning to the end, it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All Scriptures are about him. All understanding and speech is about him. You want to say something important, you talk about him. Everything else is side matter. Everything else is irrelevant compared to Christ and his gospel. Everything is about him. Chapter 24, verse 25. Look at this. Chapter 24 and verse 25. Then this is those men that were on the road to Emmaus. You know the passage there. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, he's talking right to me, you know? But he's talking to me right there. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, all Scripture, he expounded unto them in all Scriptures the things concerning himself. They talked about Christ. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were open. Praise the Lord that God would open our eyes. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, what did he talk about? He talked about himself in the Scriptures. Didn't our hearts burn while he opened to us the Scriptures? When we have our conversation, our hearts as these men, these aren't supernatural. These men aren't supermen. They're men. They're just like us, men and women, flesh and blood. Our hearts ought to burn to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, that's not just among ourselves either. Yeah, our hearts ought to burn to talk about him out there too.
Right.
You know, there's a lost and dying. We could spend our time just folding our hands and say, boy, this world's lost and dying. Boy, they're all going to hell. Our hearts should burn to tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Talk about him. You know, if you talk about him, an unsaved person will think you're crazy, and that's fine. I used to be unsaved too, and I thought y'all were crazy or people like you. I thought y'all were nuts. And the Lord saved me, and I don't talk about him like I ought to, but I sure talk about him a whole lot more than I did.
That's right.
Our hearts ought to burn like these people, and burn, burn, and burn, that we would recite as the old psalmist, and we do homework assignments in church that back there in Silsby. Psalm number 19, Psalm number 19 and verse 14, and our hearts burning to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. May this echo in our hearts. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, what's acceptable in the in the sight of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ and His gospel. May those things just be profound to us, child of God. May it be so real to us that we would just burst talking with and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They talked about it. They also talked about His gospel. Look back there in the text. They talked about His gospel. He's not just some guy. You know, some people think that He's just some guy. And He's not some weakling. You know, some people would think that He opened a door, you know, and all you got to do, He's reaching out His hand, you reach out your hand, and He's hoping you'll trust in Him. No. Verse 31. Who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Boy, that's one you can really meditate on. That word decease, it's a Greek word that's translated exodus, exit, death, or departing.
Yeah.
Well, He couldn't depart unless He came in the first place. And I mentioned that at the outset. You know, you can't leave unless you arrive first. Just think about that for a little while. That God, in the beauty of His holiness, again, that He became flesh. And not just to do it, to see what it was like. You know, sometimes we do different things, just to have an experience, to get the T-shirt. He didn't just come to the flesh to get the T-shirt. He came with great purpose.
Right.
He came with great purpose, and that purpose is in His gospel, in the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. That great purpose, His death, and people, yeah, they would agree that the word grace can be used, and they would agree that He did die. But what's critical in understanding His decease, or His exit, or His death, is that it was a substitutionary death. You cannot overlook the nature of His death, what That's His right. death actually meant.
That's right.
You know, I should never get over it. I should never get... It should be the first thing, before I introduce myself, it should be the first thing out of my mouth in all occasions, at all times, Jesus took my place. Jesus took my... What if you just went around saying that all day long, not caring who heard it? You know, sowing the seed, as you can read the parable of the sower. Just so, Jesus took my place. I deserve to die. I deserve to burn in hell. I am the man. I am the sinner. The Son of God in the flesh took my place. The Son of God. Lamentations chapter 1, the question is asked, is it nothing to you? Well, I can ask myself to that. Is it nothing to me that the Son of God took my place? Is it nothing to me? You know, how long, children of God, do we dwell and talk about the Son of God took my place? If I kept that on my heart and in my mind and in my mouth, well, boy, a lot of the stuff, those sins that and those weights that easily beset me and that lust that carries me so far off that I'm enticed to my own lust, well, that stuff... God help me, a lot of stuff would just disappear. You know, I bring a lot of foolishness on my own self because I do not talk about and meditate that Christ died for me. The ungodly, me, I'm the ungodly one. His death. Well, if He had died, He'd have been like everybody else. You know, He'd have been like everybody else if He had just died. But He was buried that period of 3 days rather. But in His resurrection, there is victory in Jesus. That is the victory.
That's right. That's
victory. Right. He's risen.
Yep.
You know, we go out sometimes and hold up signs. And one of the signs we hold up as a church is, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What's that mean? He's not dead. He was dead, but now He's not. He's alive. Yeah. He's risen. There's hope in that resurrection. There's hope in it. There is hope that because He died and He's a man now risen in the flesh, that He is gone. He's that anchor beyond the veil. He's gone. He's the forerunner. You can read that in the book of Hebrews. That He's the forerunner. What's a forerunner? Anybody know what a forerunner is? Somebody who runs on before? That means others will follow?
Yes.
because of his gospel, because of his victory. I've got promise in his resurrection that where he is, I will be also. What love is that?
Right.
You know, if I told y'all a guaranteed Mega Ball winner, I wrote it down and gave it on a little piece of paper, and I said, no matter what, you can give this to everybody you know. You won't have to split the pot. Every one of y'all will get the maximum amount. Would anybody in here keep that to yourself? No. What would you do? You go tell every single person that you knew that wanted to partake of such riches. You would say, hey, look, here it is. Now, some of them would say, yeah, what a gimmick, and they'd throw away. Some of them might hear. That's none of your business. You tell them, wouldn't you? Well, guess what? There is riches in Jesus Christ and his victorious gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. There is eternal life. And I don't talk about it. You know what that makes me? That makes me a monster. If I know the pattern of eternal life in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I do not tell sinful men, that makes me a monster. I'm not going to tell you what it makes you, but I know it makes me a monster. How dare I not talk about such things? Oh, I can talk about politics, no problem. I can tell you where the best pod is to do this and whatever. I can tell people, yeah, over here, that's usually where the police sit, so watch your pedal over there. I can tell you this gas station on this side's a little cheaper than that one. I can talk about all kinds of stuff. I can talk about politics. I can talk about vaccines. I can talk about what medicines work for what. I could talk about Republican or Democrat. I can talk about the Cincinnati Bengals are never going to win anything. I can talk about that. I can talk about the Constitution. I can talk about gun rights. I can talk about all kinds of stuff. But what about his gospel?
Right.
You know, the Republican Party can't save your soul, neither can the Constitution. Right. And you can't get salvation with a gun either. No, there's only one thing. There's only one person, rather, that can bring salvation to sinful men, and that's through his gospel. And they wanted to talk about it. Read again. Verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, men who could have talked about anything in the world, could have talked to anyone in the world, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease with him, his gospel, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That word accomplish, don't overlook it. Again, this passage is so rich. Don't overlook accomplish. You know, Brother Johnson was talking about the work that was done in here, and Brother Bookout did a really good job.
Yeah.
But being the nature, the kind of man Brother Bookout is, I'm sure in his quiet times in here, he sits back and sees the little blemishes here and there, probably, and I could have tweaked it. You know, it's just in the nature of his work, probably. He can do that. You know, I do it differently or whatever, you know. But when it says accomplished, there is no way in this world that Jesus could have done anything he did any better than what he did. He's absolutely perfect. It's finished. Accomplished.
That's right. That's right.
No, we can talk about that. Isn't that something? I can't add to it. The only thing I do as a sinful man is prove the need for my salvation. That's all I can do. You know, you follow me around for a little while, or ride with me in the car for just a minute or two, and you'll see how sinful I am. But no, he accomplished it.
That's right.
Like I said at the outset, people worship a God that he thinks he tried to save somebody, but he can't really seal the deal, and he hopes so, but there's people he loves, but they'll perish. Well, they believe in a God that can't accomplish anything. No, my Savior accomplished my salvation. It's finished. What a relief. What a relief. I've talked with people who don't believe in an accomplished gospel, and they're miserable. They try to live a sinlessly perfect life, and we ought to as well. But let's not deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin in us, we deceive ourselves. That's what it says in 1 John. Amen. No, that's just cause for us as we sin to go back to step one, point one, and talk with him. Lord, you accomplished it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your gospel. Thank you for the efficiency of your gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you have accomplished my salvation. God help me in those things.
Yes.
May God help us that we talk with him, yes, that we talk about him, and we talk about his gospel. Children of God, listen to this message from the departed. And really, like I said, the title is a message from the departed, but really spent little time talking about them, didn't we? We spent most of our time talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how our lives ought to be. If we could talk with Moses and Elijah right now, what they would turn their backs to us and they would talk with the Lord, wouldn't they? I believe they would. Talk with him. Talk about him and his gospel. That's very simple, isn't it? Seems like it's simple. Almost seems like it couldn't get any simpler. How we ought to pattern our lives. You know, it's easy to talk about this stuff again in a room full of people who love one another and behind the pulpit, but start thinking about, what about work? You know, what about family reunions? What about, being a parent? What about being a husband? What about being an employee, you know, or employer? You know, what about with the neighbor? You know, how can I implement these things? Well, it ought to just flow supernaturally, naturally from us. Hey, let me tell you just a minute about what the Lord did for me, you know?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. We ought to desire that. I ought to desire that. And please don't hear that I've got this thing figured out or I've arrived or anything like that. You know, but again, this message was really for me, and I hope you all get something out of it, you know. We ought to repent. I ought to repent and talk with him. Talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. That should be the most important thing in my life. Why? Because it's the only thing that gave me eternal life. Him. You know, I love my children. Two of them the Lord has saved. But it could be one day we get crossways. Well, I didn't save them and they didn't save me, you know. Jesus saved me from my sin. Sinner, I want you to hear this message from the departed too. I want you to hear it. There's only one thing that matters, you know. Fulfilling the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that don't matter. Because just in a little while, you're going to die. I promise. Even the little ones in here, they're going to die.
Yeah.
I've got a four-year-old. She's going to die one day. It might be today. I don't know. People text and drive. You know, we could get an accident today. The Lord could come back today. I don't know. There's lots of things. There's only one thing that matters. Not how hungry you are and how much you want me to draw this message to a close, sinner. It doesn't. No, the only thing that matters is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard his gospel today. You've heard it in song. You've heard it in prayer. You've heard it preached. How that Christ died, the Son of God, died for the ungodly. I would encourage you, sinner, and I hope that the Lord so burdens you that you don't get any rest for the rest of your life until the Lord has hit you with a measure of repentance that you could only cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
He's the only one that can.
That's right.
May the Lord bless the preaching of his word. Brother Johnson.
Amen.